We got a thing soon. It's going to be.
The workshop in session, I've been told that Chad, I'm going to hand the reins over to you, and you're going to take it on from there. Is that?
That's the first I'm hearing of it. But that's
I actually requested it. I guess I could kind of start, maybe.
Well, let's see what Jerry is that. Do you have anything to start out with?
I really don't. How about two people?
Okay,
so sit down. And I'll certainly defer to Councilor Anderson before we go there. Keith actually wears multiple hats with the county, which is why he's sitting up here. He also is the head of the ambulance franchise process. So he'll be able to explain some of the things that I've already talked to you about from the county's perspective. I've given you a memo sort of outlining the process and suggesting if you want to have a conversation, how to have that conversation. And you know, with that, I'll turn it over to Councilor Anderson to see where you want the conversation to go.
It kind of goes hand in hand a little bit with what we talked about earlier, or what I kind of talked about earlier about growth and promoting, you know, avenues for additional revenue to come into the city. The first I've ever heard about, you know, this whole ambulance thing really was when we got that proposal from Bay Cities, and I don't really even want to talk specifically about that, but it kind of opened the door to the ASA, how it's currently configured now, and our opportunities as a city to try to find avenues for a basically privatizing that service and even having it to where they're localized here in the city. And it's something I was very interested in, but I don't know, I kind of wanted to get council discussion or some insight from everybody else on what their thoughts were, because I just thought that it was a great idea and an opportunity that we might want to look into. I didn't know what it would take to do something like that. I didn't even know what an ASA was, so I started researching it and understanding that the city has the opportunity or the right to get their ASA back from the county, or at least give it to someone else that they can contract with. Currently, we are contracting with MedCom. Is that correct?
Let me back up and so just make sure everyone's on the same page. It's been a while since you received my memo. The county runs the franchise process. Mm-hmm. So the county awards the franchise. We, at this point, are completely out of it, because when we entered into the IGA with District 2 5 years ago, as part of that process, we agreed to transfer our franchise to, in this case, it went to MedCom. Mm-hmm. So MedCom basically has a contract with the county to provide ambulance services in ASA number 3. Mm-hmm. Under the IGA with Doug 2, we had the right to ask for that back upon termination, and they've agreed not to oppose that. But as we've discussed, there's a question about whether and to what extent that obligation would be binding on MedCom. And even if they agree not to oppose it, there's still a process that we have to go through with the county to try to get the transfer back, which starts with the current franchise holder, MedCom, actually making the request. As we go through that process, we have to be able to demonstrate that we can provide those services. So we're going to have to, at this point, partner with somebody to be able to submit that application to the county. And in order to do that, we're going to either need to find another government entity to enter into an IGA with, or go through the public contracting process to say, okay, we want someone to partner with to submit our application. As part of that process through the county, and I'm going to let Keith correct me wherever I get this wrong, or if I get anything wrong, as part of that process with the county, we can apply, but if someone else basically says, we're also interested in that ASA, then the county will basically open that process up for basically a complete bid review process. And so there's no guarantee. We don't just get to say, this was ours, so we get it back. It's an application process that we would go through. We would compete with other people if other people want to compete with it. And the county's going to look at its criteria and award it to the best provider, just like we would do so as we look for a partner. So that's the process that we would go through for the transfer. The current franchise expires in 2019. So and as part of the 2019 process, if we wanted to wait till then we could compete with everyone else as that process opens up. And Keith informed me tonight that process, the bid process, will actually take place about 6 months before that. So we would want to sort of get the ball rolling in early 2018, I would assume.
So before we could even try to go out, like say we wanted to do the private sector thing and go out for RFP process, before we could even start that, we would have to have a letter from MedCom saying they want out of the contract.
Out of the contract with the county, out of the franchise.
Out of the franchise for ASA 3.
Correct.
So what's the legalities of, it's like when we changed the fire department and we had union workers to where we got a lawsuit, is that a possibility at all to where you're trying to take back over something that the other entity, before the contract expires, say if we did try to ask back, is there, what's the cost that we're going to spend for lawyer fees to do stuff like that?
There's not going to be, that I can foresee, a labor issue, because we're under no obligation to take back any employees that, you know, Fire District 2 may be using to provide the service through its agreement with MedCom. That was the issue with transferring to a volunteer fire department.
Well, but we had the ambulance, so those were employees of ours, and so now...
But that's all been resolved through this process. So we are done with the personnel issues related to the IGA with Fire District 2. The issue then becomes, how do we provide the services for ambulance services in a manner that would satisfy the county's criteria? And right now, we don't have the ability to do that, so we would have to contract that out and basically have a partner as part of our bid process. And so that's where we would go, you know, potentially to a private entity, and if that private entity would agree to contract with us, and they would sort of be our partner in the bid to the county. And
can we legally do that?
Can we legally do that? Yes.
So you wouldn't have to put it out in bid to, say, three ambulance services?
No, we would have to put it, we'd have to follow our public contracting process to figure out who that partner would be. And then the county follows its process to award the franchise to either us or to someone else who may want to compete for it.
Keith, is there a list of ambulance companies or transportation companies that the county has, or somebody has, that, I mean, I know of Bay Cities, but I don't know of any other ones. Is there a list somewhere? Or
the Keith Kubik of the county mentioned ambulance franchise program administrator with this hat on. We do not keep a list at this point in time. There was the ambulance franchises were granted about, well, they're, it's a 10-year period, so about, what, 7 years ago, and there's a solicitation done, and the county has obligation to provide information and offer an open solicitation for prospective providers. And so in this case, the county would consult with Association of Oregon Counties or the Ambulance Association of Oregon, and we would say, tell us who the providers might be that might be interested, and we do an open solicitation. That is required not for renewal, but for new review of franchise, and that will occur in 2018 for 2019. If there's not a contested franchise, a good guess is that Glendale. No one's going to bid on that. Glendale Ambulance District has a small tax base. They're an ambulance program, and I'm guessing that no one will want to compete for that service. It's really more of a public service than a moneymaker for them. Mm-hmm. And in that case, if there's no competitive component, then it's a fairly easy process to issue a franchise, which is an exclusive business arrangement for them for that territory. If, for instance, there's another one of our franchise ASA areas, or more than one, that have a competitive request, whether it be one or four, or two or four, it makes no difference, then it gets a much more complicated process. There's a review, there's potentially hearings process, there's appeals process, but ultimately a decision. To kickstart that in 2018, an open solicitation would be done. We do not have a current list, but we would develop a list and provide that information.
Jared, what were you saying?
Well, I was going to say, in anticipation for this, I asked the chief just to brainstorm all the various ones that he could think of that would probably be interested, and he's got a list, but I don't know if it's relevant for this meeting.
Well, if I could,
go ahead, sure.
Councillor Anderson, the key here, as far as the county's responsibility and authority, is that administration of the ambulance system is a county responsibility. It's an overall health and safety issue, and it's because it's a regional need. Mm-hmm. It's not. It is a city need, but sure. It is a region. Mm-hmm. I mean, the person that lives just outside the city limits has as much, you know, a coordinated need as the one inside. And so the state law makes it a county's responsibility. In the franchise agreement, there is a provision that it's an exclusive business venture between the county and the provider. They have, just like our solid waste franchises, they have exclusive authority. There is the renewal process, which will be 2018-19, 19 being the decision. And then there's what I'm going to call, there's a mini process, but the mini process is a transfer. As an example, when the ambulance provider here transferred to MedCom, that was a mini process, if you're with me. It didn't go through a big competitive process because it was a voluntary and requested change. And short of a transfer request from a current provider, I'm going to go to North Douglas. Just to say North Douglas, their organization fell apart and they said, we can no longer provide the service necessary. We wish to transfer this to X. And they might want to transfer it to Lower Umpqua. They might want to transfer it to a private sector provider. They might want to transfer it to a fire district, to MedCom. That would be a fairly simple process, and that would be, but that has to be initiated by the franchise holder and only the franchise holder, and it's upon request.
So in our case, I'm thinking this, if we wanted to do something like that, how would it happen? I mean, would it be, I see this RFP process, but it sounds like the county is who decides who fulfills that need, right? I mean, does the county facilitate the RFP on behalf of ASA3, or does the ASA3 holder, meaning us, hold that RFP process?
It's a two-step process, and I'm sorry if it hasn't been clear. So the first step is that the city would have an RFP process, assuming we want to go with a private contractor, mm-hmm. to partner with someone who has the ability to provide the service.
Okay.
Because we don't have the ability to provide on our own. Once we find a partner, then we would go through the process with the county and say, okay, we, the city, want the franchise back, and we're going to subcontract with this private entity to actually perform the services.
Okay.
And if the county said, if MedCom agrees and submits the application, the county looks at it, no one else says they want it, and the county can do the mini process and transfer it to the city, and we could subcontract the actual performance to the private entity that we did as part of the first RFP process.
Okay.
If MedCom submits the transfer request, and we submit our application to transfer it to us, but someone else comes in and says they want to provide the service, then it goes to the bigger process where they basically do a new RFP for the remainder of this term.
Yeah.
Okay. Which would expire in 2019.
So the first step is an RFP, if we want to take it back.
Well,
I mean, the bottom line is we have to do an RFP to see if there's anybody out there interested that wants to.
Yes and no. I mean, I think the first step really needs to be a conversation with MedCom.
Well, okay. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, as far as
assuming MedCom agrees, then the first step would be us trying to find a partner.
Councillor was there, I would say that, yeah, the really first step is MedCom. Fire District 2 is a subcontractor with MedCom, just like someone might subcontract with the city. But if MedCom is not of a mind to consider a transfer, my apology, from county standpoint, you'd be wasting your time.
Yeah.
Simply wasting your time until the 2018-19 process.
Right. So you don't do an RFQ to find out, you know, of the different agencies that want it. That's what I'm trying to figure out, is what is the bottom line, the dollar? When you guys say, yeah, is it like the bidding process for the streets and everything else?
It, It is not, the bottom line is not necessarily dollar. It's provided in the Oregon Revised Statutes and the Oregon Administrative Rules that carry them out. It's kind of a convoluted, and as I say about some other parts of the Oregon law, it's simply complicated. But it spells out response time, equipment, trained personnel. There's a whole series of criteria that are looked at.
More of the service.
It's about this public safety and service, and then the fees are only one component of about 10 very important components.
So you really have an RFQ. You're trying to find out if they're qualified.
That's right.
The equipment.
Oh, the review process that you have to do when you do an open solicitation on franchises is simply a big deal. It is a lot of work. The proposals that are submitted are very complicated and very thorough, because they have to address every criteria that's in the state law and in our code.
How does Sutherland play into it, to where we're the total ones that have the SA area when we're taking in surrounding areas?
Well, Hope, we don't have it anymore. We do not have it.
Well, no,
but when we did have it.
We're trying to decide which ambulance would do this area when we're talking Oakland, Nonpareil.
Well, this ASA is... It's a larger area. There's 8 total in the county. One, the Coast, North County, and Glendale, and the 5 others in the county are all carried out by Fire District 2.
But how do we, hard to explain, but since this is such a big area, how do we have the say that, okay, this
You're
is
calling outside the city limits.
This is the group that we want to bring to the...
That group has to, if you make a proposal wherever, whether it be a proposal for a transfer or a proposal for a new service in 2018, you are obligated to provide the service for the entire ASA.
But we have to send letters out to all them and say, okay, this is the group we want to do, or is there a focal period where they can say, no, we want MedCom, we don't want another ambulance service?
There's a public participation process, but they don't have a veto authority. They would just be able to participate in the review process.
Okay, so Sutherland would still be in charge of it then?
Well, if Sutherland was the proposer, if Sutherland was actually, in a sense, the applicant.
Yeah, so if you think about it from the perspective of a solid waste franchise, so we have a hauler within the city, and we award that franchise to the solid waste hauler. The solid waste hauler comes forward and says, here's how I'm going to provide these services. And then we say, okay, great, we're giving you an exclusive franchise. You get to provide all the solid waste hauling activities within the city of Sutherland. So that's how we do that. That's basically the exact same process that works for ambulance services, except the county, as opposed to the city, gets to say who the franchisee is. And so if we... serving in the same position as the hauler, the solid waste hauler, apply to the county and say, we would like to be the ambulance service provider for ASA 3, which includes this entire area, even areas outside the city. We meet the criteria, we're the best proposer, and the county says, yes, City of Sutherland, you get to provide that service. Then the county's giving us authority to provide ambulance services outside of the city within that entire ASA 3 area.
Actually giving you the responsibility.
It's the responsibility.
Why would we want to do that, except just put it out to RFP and have whoever...
County administrate
the whole thing.
That was one of my questions.
The thought process, why we would want to do that, is because the last proposal we received was, hey, if we could do that, we're going to come and build our headquarters here. We're a privately owned company, and we're a taxpayer. And so that was the benefit I saw, was, oh, okay. I mean, if we got an opportunity to bring in a new business, maybe this is something we want to look into.
So what about another? What has there been any talk, and maybe this might be a question for the chief or Jerry, about this future fire department and a new chief? What if in 18 they want to take it back? The fire, you know, some volunteer fire department.
I've talked to the chief about this process. He asked the question of me, what if I put together a proposal that could compete with the private sector and not cost the city any money, and in fact make money? I said the same thing. If that's what we wanted to do, would have to put that in and compete against all the other people that applied. So
that's always been a theory too. You have people at the station, if they can do ambulance, you're paying them to sit there. Why don't you pay them to, you know?
Except the one thing Chad did say, they don't. If we chose to do it, they wouldn't necessarily have. If the city wanted to get back into the business, it would be an IGA, right? They don't necessarily have to go through the bid process.
No, you do.
Okay, never mind.
You do.
Yeah, okay.
And wouldn't we have to have union workers for that?
Maybe, yes.
So we'd be right back where we was.
We could be. That's exactly right.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Why go that route? Yeah.
No, that's what got us in trouble for that.
Yeah, the chief. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not bringing. I'm just. Did you guys talk about that? Mm-hmm. I thought you, you guys were just throwing.
Yeah, I told them. I told them. I said, absolutely not now. But in 2018, if politics change and we could do something that could put together a mechanism and you could prove it to the council, you know, I'm not going to.
Just the difference.
I'm not going to tell them no.
But, Mr. Mayor, conceptually, we could have the county could receive. Three proposals, a MedCom proposal, a city proposal, and a private sector proposal, which would all have to be considered.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's your decision.
Yes.
The city cannot, just within our city limits, develop our own ambulance service?
Not at this time under the state law.
We're not qualified to take care of ourselves.
And then outside of the city, ASA3 would belong to whoever. If we could take care of our own within.
It'd be kind of like the school district. Sutherland taking care of their own students and the rest of the school district does theirs.
Councilman Boggs, that the state law doesn't provide for that at this time. It's a regional issue. It's a regional management issue.
So whoever's going to do it is going to do AS3, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I understood.
I had one more question, and it has to do with the contract we had with Fire District 2. In the language, it said where Fire District 2 would not contest the city going back and getting ASA 3. Is that only pertinent to FD2 as a subcontractor to MedCom and not to MedCom?
That's the million-dollar question. my assumption is that is certainly the position they would take. We can certainly, and I wouldn't want to do it here, you know, if you want to have an executive session to talk about your options, you know, we can certainly have that conversation. And if they, I think what I could say publicly is if they refuse and say we're not bound by that and we want to try to enforce it, you know, the mechanism is going to be some sort of litigation process, which is not cheap. It can take a while.
Yeah.
Until the contract.
If we wanted to do it out, and they said no, we don't want to do it.
We want to try to force their hand. Say, wait, you agreed. And
okay, I see.
You're bound by that same process. Then it's something that we would try to have to enforce, and it would not be a cheap or quick process.
Keith, when you look at all these eight different zones and stuff, are they all the same? The financing part of them, like some of them operate on just user fees, some of them operate on taxes. Are they?
They are different. Each of the counties, as an example, it's called the Frontier Area, but the North Umpqua comes with, I think it comes with the Glide ASA, and there's no revenue generation up there at all. They're just response to emergency calls. The standards are lower for the performance of the ambulance provider, but they're still, Glendale has a small tax base, North Douglas has a small tax base. I'm trying to remember what Reedsport has. Reedsport's run out of the hospital, and I actually don't remember what that one is.
I think they have a hospital district. Tax base.
Yeah, maybe tied to that.
It's tied to the hospital.
Yes.
After seeing them all work, which one works best? Is the tax base work better than the user fee, or is it?
You know, it's a combination, and here, the answer, and I don't mean to confuse this to you, emergency ambulance service doesn't generate as much revenue as other ambulance services, the non-emergency travel. The only one that's regulated by the county is emergency. And in the structure that's probably best the emergency ambulance service needs a supporting tax base.
Yeah, yeah, non-emergency, you're just talking transports and stuff like
that. But you have, it has the potential of generating, it has a greater opportunity for generating revenue.
How close does the county watch the response times? And
we do, there is an annual audit, there's eight ASAs, and there's an annual audit of one or two of them. And it's really, they get information from the hospitals, they get information, we get information from the E911 Communication Center, and then there's a field visit and discussion, and so they're checked upon. Also, each of the ASAs does some self-reporting each year, but we actually do an audit. I came into my administration responsibilities just after they'd completed the audit, and I don't remember what district it was last year. I could check, but it's just not on top of my head.
Sure. So it sounds like nothing can really be done until 2018, then, no matter what, other than talk.
Well, the county's had no conversation with the holder of the franchise, MedCom. We haven't had any conversation. As a matter of fact, I knew there was a discussion here in Sutherland, and just coincidentally, I was here for the other item, and so
perfect.
I thought it might be helpful to say.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I made sure he wasn't billing you for this.
That's not the 0.75.
You come on in.
I just had one other question. What if a company has done good, do they have a better record of being reawarded the contract than in the bidding process?
You know, under the structure of the franchise ordinance, they smooth right in on the renewals, and it's a fairly significant renewal period. But the way the law is structured, it is a fresh look. And that's why I say if there's no competition, it probably becomes easier. But it's a fresh look, and so I have to say no. It doesn't provide them an advantage on a new look on the franchise review.
Pam Cameron, 2662 Gulfview. I understand you had said that, like, Glide, because it's a different area, it has different criteria for what's required of the provider?
Actually, just the North Umpqua part.
Right.
And, yes.
And my question is, because Sutherland, now the ASA or the ambulance portion is going to be provided strictly separate from the fire piece, does that mean that Fire District 2, their requirements for providing service here will change in any way, or it can be changed, can be called rural or something else, and thus change what the criteria for filling their requirements are?
No, the requirements stay the same.
Okay, thank you.
So, where are we at? You guys got any more, or are we educated on ASA?
I'm of the mindset, and I can get feedback from you guys that tell me what you think, but I wouldn't mind having Jerry or somebody talk to MedCom, just to talk to them. But that's my feeling, to see what their interest is, if they even want to keep it, or if they'd be willing to. That's what I'd like to see. But
that's what I would like to see also.
I kind of thought along those lines, just initiating a conversation to see whether or not, if they're not, they are, maybe. We can't start
without them.
But there.
We need them to want to. So.
We've never discussed after the contract's ended as to where the ambulance will be parked.
That's up to the provider. I don't think we have any say in that.
Yeah. And
if they're going to respond from College Station or Del Rio or Roseburg, that's their call, is it not?
Well, and the kind of
except they have the service requirements of the franchise to meet. So I would have to go back and say, if they can't meet that, then they'll have to have a facility here or nearby. but I can't speak to that with accuracy.
Okay, so that would be between the county and the district, or whoever's MedCom.
It would be.
We're pretty much out of the loop unless we just say we're concerned. Or people are concerned.
Yeah, saying that the community is concerned is absolutely appropriate, but it is something that it would be appropriate for the county to ask that question of the provider. I don't know the answer, but they still have to comply with the provisions of the franchise.
Well, I can tell you that everybody I have talked to in this inquiry about this, that is their concern. Where's the ambulance coming from? How long does our heart attack have to last before we get help?
Keith, would you be the point man? I mean, would you be the person to contact if say the council had a concern or had a question to talk to you, to the county about MedCom, would we go to you or would we go to the commissioners or how would you?
It's an interesting question. I would say you would come to me as the ambulance system and ambulance franchise program administrator.
Okay.
The commissioners actually have delegated a significant amount of authority to me to administer the program. I administer the code. I would be the one that would run the process and do the checks. I'm responsible for getting the audits done and those kinds of things. So
okay.
I think that would be the right place to touch.
Okay.
Council, Greg Marler with District 2. In answer to Council Bach's question, we are having an ambulance stationed here, and it will be just the same as it was previously. We're going to have a 24-hour paramedic ambulance housed out of the Cala Police Station on 138. We've already added an additional 12-hour ambulance into the system from the north side with a whole move-up system in our operations. So as Mr. Cubic commented, we will meet and exceed, as we always have, the ambulance ordinance and plan requirements. We won't have first responders here anymore, so that's where it is different. That was, you know, from the city's decision on that. But the ambulance, we will have a 24-hour unit housed here. We've added already in April an additional unit to cover those additional calls and move up as well. So, and I know there's reference made to MedCom. They meet on a regular basis. Their notice meetings are public. And you can, you know, either write to them directly through the district to the chair, who is Tom Ryan. For those of you who don't know, MedCom is a 195 agreement. It's made up between Fire District 2 and the City of Roseburg. They have two members each, so it is a public entity and has to follow all the regular public entity, you know, rules that they meet and all of that. So.
One other time when you were here, you said you guys have to decide if you wanted to keep the franchise. Do you feel you want to keep the franchise?
Well, I can't personally speak for MedCom because I can't represent MedCom. I don't. We're the subcontractor. I have spoken with them. They have no interest at this time of transferring the ASA and the franchise. They're happy with it and continuing it. But that is for, you know, discussion for you guys to have. They just said that in passing. But we continue to be the subcontractor for them for the ASAs that we serve, the four ASAs that we serve. And
well, I think the rub there in that process for us is that when the contract was made with District 2, it was under the assumption that District 2 had the say in that and not MedCom being subcontractor.
Yeah, between the attorneys, and that included the city attorney, where the transfer of that actually ended up going. I know initially they discussed it going to District 2, but District 2 didn't hold any of those franchises. So
I think that's probably an assumption on our part that we made that you were the controlling factor in that decision, and that's our mistake.
That's what the contract reads, though.
No. Well, the contract just reads.
But I appreciate the input on you're going to have ambulances here locally, and we're not going to have to wait for, you know, an extra 10 minutes to come from Roseburg.
No. Now, obviously, so a system demands, you know, like anywhere go, there could be, lengthy contracts, but I mean, the initial and the backup plan is planned to service that contract there, service that whole ASA area.
So, if you're saying I can go ahead and pay my fire med?
Well, you hope you do.
This is a question you probably can't answer, but does the ambulance service make money in our community? Because I've been told that you guys lose money, and that was where when the contract was together and you were in the same building, you was able to make it go.
Well, I mean, you know, we work two different systems, as you know here. We work a few of our ambulances are combined with our in our fire stations, and some of them are a free enterprise system that is single role medic and all. And I think what happens is the system as a whole, if you look at any one silo or station operation in themselves, they probably don't make money just on emergency. And as Mr. Kubik spoke and others, the non-emergency business certainly helps supplement and offset those, because on its own, the emergency business doesn't pay all that well. So individually, probably not any one area, but collectively within our whole system, they pay for themselves and provide for themselves, and we're able to do so. We, again, don't use tax-based money in our delivery of our system for the free enterprise one. It is 100% user fees for that. There's no tax dollars that are utilized for that.
Les, I was wondering, when you, right now you have firefighters that actually act as ambulance guys when they're not working, but now without the fire department, are you just going to have just regular
single role paramedic? Single role. Yeah, so there won't be fire cross training. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
So I just want to summarize. I think we had consensus for Jerry.
I saw three. So
yeah, there's three.
You are you good? Okay. Then we got consensus.
I don't know if I'm good, but
I didn't know I went with before he
Tom
came
Ryan.
Up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
It's a foregone conclusion that
yeah, that's kind of my life, but hey, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, is that everything?
Yep.
Thank you, everybody.
Are you coming in the morning?
Okay. I told
you. Debbie's grandson is in the
room. I know. She told me.
Thanks for coming up.
She tell you what happened with the dirt bike?
No, it was a dirt bike. See you, Wes.
See you, Jerry.
She was just saying on Monday, I worry about those guys. They got dirt bikes. I'm afraid they're going to get hurt.
Getting caught up.